All right, everybody. After some like really awesome technical difficulties, we are like a mile up the trail of West Rim for the next episode of Trail Talk. Cameras suck. That's the moral of the story here. But we are with Send It Ruby, who does not suck. She has been gracious enough to let me come and ride around with her in her race rig. We're going to talk about Ultra 4, how she got into this, and keep going with that. So again, thank you. This is the second time for coming out.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're on West Rim. You can track this trail on Onyx. We'll put it up in the description. But as we were previously talking about, do you want to just, you know, run through it again? How did you get into, like, hey, we have this Ultra 4 car. I'm racing competitively in the 4600 class. How did you get from where you are to where you are now?
Okay. So a lot of people have, like, heard my story before, but basically I was a content creator, but in the fashion space. I started a Instagram for my Diesel JL because you can't put that on a fashion page. People aren't going to care. And so that was Ruby and Red. And that was back in 2020 during COVID. I lived in Nebraska. I knew nobody. I just wanted to make friends. And then I saw all the like some awesome girls like Holly Fowler, Jesse Combs, Corey Weller, just like baddie drivers in their space. And I was like, wow, I can do that too. Even though I had never even put my tires on a rock. We were pretty pictures, and you know, I was known for my sunset sunrise photos. Like,
yeah, that would come from fashion blogging. That kind of carries over to like what you were originally doing with the Jeep.
Yeah. So I met a stranger on the local Facebook group, the Nebraska Jeep Club, and we went out to a place called Tuttle Creek, Kansas. And the guy's name was Shane, and still friends to this day. He actually wanted to come out this weekend, but I was like, no visitors. We were going to have a chill weekend. But he was out
on a week. Sorry, you mentioned that.
No, you and everybody else. But he was out a couple of months ago. Actually, he went out. He was out for New Year's, so he got to come out of that. And just awesome guy. And so he's actually the one that named me Send It, because my strategy was skinny pedal, hard and fast up everything, because I didn't want to roll. So I thought if I just went up fast, I wouldn't roll, which obviously is not a great strategy. So it was lead foot, princess send it, and then now we're Send It Ruby. And then I was Crawl It Ruby for a long time because the Diesel JL, like, you just, once I learned how to drive, like, and knew what that vehicle could do, I didn't need to send it. But now we're back in T-Rex, a.k.a. the Highlighter, my 4600 car, and we're all skinny pedal and rev limiter.
Yeah, we've played skinny pedal earlier, just coming up the first little edge, and I'll be honest, it's fun. It's a lot of fun being someone that just, yeah. A lot of the guys I crawl with are like the slower, they're like, let's see. And then there's a few of them that you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to mash the throttle and see what happens. And that's fun.
Well, your reaction was awesome. You're like, wow, this is like already so exciting. And I think, you know, the more I drive this thing, like I had driven this thing maybe 10 times before I raced hammers.
Okay.
And racing hammers like made me so focused, and a lot of times I would have like nerves or emotions or whatever. And racing hammers, I was just focused. I just did it. And I was worried. I'm like, well, maybe that's just Racer Ruby. And then ever since then, though, I trust this thing. It literally got me through all, what, 20 miles of ping of hammers. Like, it's very capable. I'm very capable. So yeah. I just need to trust it. And it's a ton of fun.
Yeah. I just noticed something that I didn't notice before. Do you like have like these different modes in your mind that you go into? Cause you've mentioned a few times, like I was Ruby and Red. I'm Sending Ruby. I'm Crawler Ruby. I'm Racer Ruby. Are these like, are you like physically in your head? Like, okay, this is the zone I'm in.
So it's funny. When I first started on the internet, like Send It Ruby, Ruby and Red, like the early days, it was kind of the same thing. We were like sparkly outfits, big hair, because all these guys would be like, oh, I can't believe your husband lets you drive that, or where is he? And I literally had a sticker on the back of my jail that said, this is not my husband's Jeep.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I was so just, and then I ended up just making a joke out of it because people were like, oh, where's your husband? I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, where's the mall? Like, I just was going to Starbucks. And
I was going to Starbucks.
Yeah, just like, I went out of my way to be like full glam and just over the top so people would look at me and be like, what is this girl doing? And then I would go do like the wall of doom on like stock axles in like 37s.
Yeah. You just like lean into it and then be like, oh, was that what you thought it was, Studio Dean? No.
Exactly.
Not at all. That's so fun.
Even still, like the other day, I had a guy say to me, he's like, oh, so you race this cool. He's like, so who's like your driver? Like to race me? I mean, I would have said like, oh, I co-drive, you know? And I was like, no, I drive. He's like, well, what happens if you break? I said, well, I have a co-driver to help me with things, but like I built it, so I'm gonna be the one to fix it. He's like, well, what if you really break? I said, then I'll take my portable Lincoln welder and weld it because I'm a welder. And he, like, granted, I had on like a red dress and my hair, like I was all done up, but he just couldn't wrap his head around it.
At that point, you just like, look, here's my Instagram, go do 10 minutes of research, then we'll pick this conversation back up. Go look at all this badass stuff I've done. Like, what do we, yeah, if you break, what do you do? Same thing everyone else does. I'm going to try and fix it and get back on the course. Like,
yeah,
that's so funny to me.
Well, and I'm very fortunate that that happens way less now because I am more well known. And
yeah,
honestly, like I put in so much work to have the knowledge that I have. Like I went to welding school. I'm now in CNC machining school. I just passed all my manual stuff and now I'm getting HAWS and DUSOT certified. And then I married Joe, Send It Joe, who's literally like Rain Man when it comes to anything with a motor. Like that guy, he literally fixes airplanes, helicopters. He's done F1 stuff, trophy trucks, high-end European. Like he has taught me so much. And I really just, I've been so fortunate through, you know, working races and going to events and expos and just seeking out those who know what they're doing and are like really excellent at their crafts and just asking them questions and being humble and being like, I don't know these things. I want to do what you're doing. What do I need to do? And people are more than happy to share. And so I've spent the past 5 years really just trying to learn as much as I can and do as much as I can, because, you know, you can pay people to do stuff. And I used to do that. And that's awesome. It's not, you know, not everybody needs to weld or wrench, but I had so much stuff done wrong and poorly. And it cost me time. And there's nothing worse to me than like breaking on a trail and being at the mercy of other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Well, I hope someone comes by, or I hope the people in my group have like stuff with me to help me out.
Yeah. Or know how to do it or not cause more damage. Like I understand there's a lot of people in that position and that's totally fine. Like there's, everybody has their, what they're comfortable with. But for me, I just, especially because I spent so much time by myself before Joe, like I needed to be able to do things. So
yeah, self-sufficiency came out of necessity rather than necessarily like just a desire to do it. I'm just checking because
you're fine.
Just gun shy as heck about this right now.
No words.
Yeah, you're fine. Whatever we're gonna do from here on out, I will figure it out and I will splice it together. So you have all this like self-sufficiency stuff of like, just like I said, it comes out of your necessity of like doing it. What like kind of got you, you were like, okay, I want to get into the off-roading stuff. You did the sparkly dresses, the mall collar stuff. And then somehow you're racing King of Hammers, which is one of the gnarliest races, if not the gnarliest off-road race that ever exists. For those that don't know, it's not just like Baja where you're blasting through the desert. It's not like We Rock where you're, you know, inching through in like a moon buggy. It's all of that put together, keeping it all together, keeping the car together. How did you, like, what bit you that said, like, I'm going to go do that now?
Yeah. So I went to Hammers in 21. There, you know, Holly was there. A lot of, you know, other content creators were there. So we just wheeled with some friends. I slept in a tent. Where I was living at the time was like 2 hours each way. So I drove back and forth a few days. The rest of the time I tented. And I remember on race day just watching Shannon Campbell pass people going up Chocolate Thunder. And I just felt this, like, I could explode with happiness and had just the biggest grin on my face. And I just literally was like, the people I was with, I was like, how can you watch this and not want to do this? Like, the pull inside me to do this was so strong. And it still feels like that when I watch people racing. It's like, it's torture, because I just want to be out there with them. And so I said, I'm going to do this. And of course, I feel like the influencer progression, if you will, is, you know, rock crawl. And then a lot of people say like, oh, I'm going to do Hammers. And there's not very many who go from where I was to do it.
Yeah, that's a bit of a big leap.
It is. And it's, I mean, racing, like, even if you have a ton of money, unless you hire like the right people to help you, there's so much that goes into it logistically. And just, you know, I had so many great people help me then and still now. And like, I thought I knew so much, but I didn't. And so many people come in that are just like, oh yeah, I got this. I'm like, no, dude, there's so much that you don't know. Like, there's so much that even I still like am learning. And I've been, you know, actively chasing and working races since beginning of 22, you know, and racing. So I said I was going to build a race car. Initially, the plan was I was going to build my JL. And then Kevin Stearns told me I was very, very nicely said I was crazy and that was way too much money. And it was going to get crunched up, because I didn't understand totally at that time that people are going to ram me and like see that shiny new thing and be like, oh yeah, that minivan, we're going to crush it.
Racing is racing. And it's, I think I told you before, like, there's this like childish like image in your head of like, oh, the race cars are like this like top of the line built thing, which they kind of are, but you kind of forget that like it's a tool at the end of the day.
Totally.
Not a show rig.
Totally. Yeah, we're not. I don't know anything. That's a show rig. I mean, they're supposed to be, but we're all function over here. And if it looks cool, it looks cool.
Yeah.
But so I initially bought a TJ Tub and was going to build a 4500 car. And then Kevin also, like, he was super helpful in the beginning. You know, he's like, that's really competitive. Maybe you should consider 4600 class. So this TJ that we sit in today, T-Rex, aka the highlighter. Originally T-Rex is green, that's why we named him T-Rex. But since the wrap is basically a highlighter, you know.
Yeah, it's got that like nice green yellow tint to it. It's good.
Yeah. So we had a 2.5, it was a sport, and then we bought a Rubicon that was a full Rubicon without axles. And pulled the 4.0 out of that and the transfer case. And then we built the first rendition of this in 55 days.
Pretty quick turnaround.
It was, and it was dumb. and we weren't going to go out to Hammers, but our friends were like, oh, we'll help you. We'll get it done on the lake bed. And I'm like, okay. So we decided not to race because I had like zero seat time. And there was just stuff that wasn't great on it. So
was
the next,
like, sorry, was that like,
no,
totally, I don't know. So just hearing your backstory, hearing you like sitting on the race bed with the car, was that just like torture being like, I'm here, I have the car, why am I not racing?
Yeah, it was kind of a relief because it was already like so overwhelmed, so tired. Oh, this is kind of.
We're gonna do it or not. It's up to you.
I don't know. Let's see it.
I'm excited. Feels like we're gonna make up for the rev limiter stuff we had to cut out.
No, we're good. We're good.
we're, for those just listening, we are on West Rim, and we're going up on this is toll booth number one, which is the more aggressive of the four. As you get into like the halves.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was definitely hard to not, but at the same time too, I was so just like tired.
Yeah.
Cause that was just a lot.
Yeah, because you just built a car in 55 babies.
Can you look for me? Because I know how it drops off.
Got a whole gaggle of
people
watching this too.
Usually spectators.
Well, you, like you said, the highlighter kind of draws attention to itself, being the color it is.
You're supposed to hit first.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Oh, yeah, and this is
Beam Mo.
Wait.
Hi, Dad.
I love that smell, though.
Back a little bit.
And as soon as you get the back,
yeah. No. A little bit more.
Look towards Striver.
Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Driver, keep backing up.
Which way? Driver?
Yeah. Back.
Do you think it's just too steep?
Go that way.
Okay.
You're also higher pressure.
Yeah. Where am I? From there? No.
Well, I'll try go back down all the ways.
That way?
Yeah. Hit the bumper.
Yeah, that's fine.
Are these sticky compound tires?
No, we have to be a DOT.
Okay,
so it's a 45-inch DOT, but it measures at 33.51.
Okay, so they're, yeah. Good old sectioned tire sizing, or it's not actually true.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, back up.
We can go around, it's fine.
For those just listening, we are still doing this. We're just on a really technical obstacle. And if, go back and watch the video, because it's well worth it.
Yeah, last time I did it, it was pretty chewed out like this. But I feel like it's so smooth at the bottom.
Yeah.
That it's hard to get.
This is Sopala. I've never tried this.
No. I've done it a bunch, like only once in this. But my other rigs, like they're bigger tires and long. But these are, it's my KOH car, so they're 33.5-inch tires.
That'd be badass.
Thanks. All right.
Right there.
Try.
It's me.
Sorry, dude.
So, well, I don't know who you're apologizing to, but it's not me. That was awesome.
Hold on.
Oh, that's so cool.
She wanted to take a break.
That's totally fine. But that was so cool.
Here we go.
Oh my goodness.
Is that good sound effects for you?
Oh my gosh, that's way better than the first ones were.
Thanks for trusting me.
Oh no, it's fine. I have no choice at this point. And plus, You've raced King of Hammers and I haven't, so you've obviously yeah. something up on me.
We gotta wait for Joe.
That's totally fine. I totally lost what we were talking about. That was so cool.
Car. Now, would it be the best 4400 car?
Yeah.
So, and now the 4800 class is getting really popular too. The other limitation too is 37-inch tires. Yeah. So 4400, you can run any tire size. 48, it's a 37.
Okay.
But it, basically, Joe wants something like a bomber, like a buggy. Okay. But he also would like to race. So I was like, let's just do a 4800 car. That way you can do buggy things and then also be a race car.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we jumped back in the car and we were just talking about you guys are building another car for your husband, Joe, which is fantastic. I have more people racing cars, better. I love watching it. With your experience in 4400 or geez, not 4400. I'm losing my mind here. Racing Ultra 4.
Yeah.
I obviously come out of the side-by-side world.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, like, how do you perceive side-by-sides in the amount of time that you've been doing this? Because
yeah.
in the last 5 years, there's been what I feel like is a big change, culminating in the last KOH with Kyle Chaney taking the 4400 overall.
Yeah.
So what's your opinion of that, I guess? Let's start there.
So I think it's cool. I mean, it's not a easy race to win. So however you can do it is awesome. Like I think for me, having a UTV in the 4400 class, like I'm not a huge fan of it just because there's okay. so many UTV specific classes and we don't get to go into their classes.
Okay.
So having them into our classes, or where historically, you know, full size vehicle classes, like it doesn't quite, like, I don't see how that's necessarily fair.
Okay.
And I think the technology, I mean, there's a lot more money going into development for UTVs than I would say full size. Like Jeep is not spending that money. Ford did definitely invested some, you know, with the fun havers helping them.
I was gonna say Lauren's car is not a cheap yeah. car.
No, well, so like the top three winners of my class are all factory Broncos.
Okay.
We're, you know, Lauren and Vaughn's cars are, I know they're more than 250. They're definitely under five, but my all-in retail of this car is 25 grand.
Yeah. So that's a massive difference, at a minimum 10x.
Absolutely. So I think it's cool. I think I thought we were going to have UTV classes and then we were going to have full size classes. And I think Kyle winning is awesome. Kyle is a very talented driver. He's a great dude. I have no qualms against that. I know Dave Cole was not happy that a rubber band car won. But, you know, he did, and nobody can say otherwise. I think long term, like, I think a lot of people were not happy about it. But on the same thing, I know a bunch of people that have full size race cars that are going to buy a UTV. And yeah. they're spending $100,000 to $150,000 on a UTV, which is a lot of money. Like,
it's crazy amount.
For me, I personally, if I'm going to do that, I would spend $140,000 and buy the Gomez Brothers single seater. Which way should I
go? Yeah. Whichever you want. This is obviously more technical. So to talk about that, a crossover between classes, is it like, do you feel like there's a differentiation between like the 4400, which is supposed to be unlimited, mm-hmm. or is it just like maybe they should have like a 4400 for UTVs, you think, or is this just full disclosure? Yeah. I'm tickled pink that he won. I think it's so cool.
Yeah. No. I think it's new and different, and it made a lot of people mad. And I'm not one of those people that, like, you know, people get they're very passionate about what they love and what they believe is great. And I'm all for innovation. And, you know, we need money to keep this sport going. And hopefully those companies that are developing those cars are going to invest in the drivers and the teams and the races, because it's a very expensive sport. And like, there will not be a King of Hammers if we don't have money, you know?
It's not a cheap event to put on.
No, it's not. Any of these races, really. So I think that would be a cool thing. Like, if we're going to keep on track with how things have been done, like, you have a 1000, you have a sportsman's class, you have a turbo class, why wouldn't you have an unlimited class for UTVs?
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that even if everything goes that way and they put, you know, UTVs in their own class and whatever, do you think that there's going to be any, like, do you think that the last 2 years have kind of opened the eyes of the bigger teams, of like the Campbell teams, or like you mentioned the Gomez brothers, into like, hey, maybe we start building lighter cars? Or like, do you think there's any innovation that's going to work its way up into those bigger full-size things that come out of the UTVs?
Well, I know for a fact, I mean, I know the Campbells fairly well. And then the Gomez brothers, like, I spent a bunch of time talking with them at races. And I know, like, the people from UFO who tend to build their cars. And I worked with John Tondra at the race shop at one point. And so lighter is always the goal.
Okay.
So, and then there's certain people like myself where it's like, now that I am doing more, it's like, okay, maybe I should be saving weight in certain places. And before, I was just like, I want bulletproof and I want redundancy because I just want to finish.
Right.
So, and now I'm more like, okay, let's try and be a little bit lighter. We can't. I think every car is always trying to be lighter. I think maybe they may take some things from Can-Am's, you know, playbook as far as design goes, that maybe they'll use to make things lighter. But I don't know, personally, like, if I'm in a race and I'm going fast, especially, like, we had 66 miles of desert each loop, if I'm going to get hit by something, I would rather be in a lot of these other 4,400 cars than a Can-Am.
Your bigger stuff.
Yeah, they literally held it together with a ratchet strap, like one of their, the unlimited cars. I forget. I don't remember if it was Kyle's car or somebody else, but.
No, you're talking about the one the bulkhead sheared off?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a thing, right? Like, it's.
Are we good over there?
You are up on this upper ledge. Yeah. You're totally like, there's a 2 steps. It's like a 6-inch ledge. I think you're fine to just go straight. Yep. Yeah, you're clear as day over here. So I'm just curious. I don't know, I'm supposed to sell my Anvil, right?
Yes, yeah. Hopefully. Well, that's why I got you the Go-Go Gadget console. Brave Motorsports. It's literally called the Go-Go Gadget console. So.
No, I like it. This is actually like, I might be a taller guy than they usually sit here, but this is like
perfect size for it, because I sized it like trying to be like, all right, I'm shorter. And it was me. And then obviously my co-drivers are like 6 inches shorter than me or something.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No, I'm the whole 44, the whole like KOH thing. I'm just, it seems like that right now, the Gomez brothers cars are really close to being a side-by-side anyways, other than they're just bigger. They're IFS.
Yeah.
Oh, remember if they're IRS as well, I think.
They have a little bit of everything, so
okay.
I know they've had some IRS cars, but they have everything. They literally have UTVs, they have trophy trucks, Joe actually would know that better than I would.
That's all good. Like I say, I'm happy for it. I can see where there's some frustration where it's like, I don't know. There's a lot of, I guess, sentiment in the full-size community around side-by-sides. Like, you know, it's a sign and drive. It's a, which is totally true. But I think we're on the precipice of, in the UTV world, there's been like this explosion of growth and people pushing it beyond just like, I can buy a side-by-side and, you know, just go do whatever. And I like seeing that progression. and this isn't necessarily like a King of Hammer specific thing, but I like seeing more people getting into the off-road thing.
Totally.
And if that lowers the bar to entry and it comes with like some negatives.
Let's get on this before I get going. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Don't ever apologize for this, please.
I don't know how what we're hung up on.
I think your front axle's on that rock, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and I got a rock behind me now. Let's see if I can go back at all. I'm gonna go like into a rock. Hey, Joe, can you help me? I can't see. I'm like wedged in a rock here. Hi.
Hey, pick your big homies. Well, what's your problem?
What's my problem? This is my problem now, right?
Can you bump it for me?
I'll try.
Your front dip was hitting the rock.
Okay.
Do nothing. Pull back a little bit.
Like as is?
Go driver.
Driver?
No.
Passenger.
Go back. Try to come towards heel a little bit.
Okay. And do what?
And try to go there.
Okay. I'm like hitting it.
Yeah, you feel that axle set down on it.
Yeah.
Should I just reset?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just.
Now I got it.
I'm going to be uncomfortable with the max vibrate.
We good?
Yeah. Drivers?
Driver?
S, sorry. Six.
Do you have hydro assist or anything on this? Is that allowed in your class?
Keep going?
Yeah.
You sure? Yeah. Okay. It is allowed. I just don't have it. I like to make things hard.
Okay.
No, I have one to put on. Oh, look it. I broke the rock.
Yeah, I was going to say, that feels like about where the axle sat down.
Yeah. No, I'll try crawling up this a little bit. Look at that nice rolling
butter.
Mitch, I don't know. Sunday drive. So you don't have to bash rocks. It's just more fun.
It's just more fun when you do it that way.
It just sounds better.
Yeah. For the UTV conversation, like I say, it's got some cons for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to see more people be interested in off-roading, just to give the off-road community some better numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally get like where you're coming from, where you're like, hey, so this should be the class that it's always been, and if we want to do this in a different way, maybe we provide a different way for them to do that the same. But I do like the rivalry myself, though. I like seeing like
I'm all for that. 100%. Like, I'm a Red Sox fan. Like, I have grown up with rivalries, you know? But
yeah.
I think, too, like, it kind of annoys me when people are like, oh, you can sign and drive, if you will, and go race. You can't. Like, you need a cage. There's so many things that you need that, like, yes, a lot of this is relatively turnkey, but it still requires a lot of work. And I think anybody that wants to take away from what people are doing in UTVs and saying that they're not real race cars or, you know, like, yeah, there a lot of the components, like, yeah, it is a rubber band car in a lot of ways, but they're still doing a lot. And I'll say this about any platform. You can put anybody in 100,000, 200, half a million, whatever. And if they're not a good driver, they're not a good driver.
Yeah.
You know, and that is part natural instinct, but also just seat time. And Kyle had a ton of seat time, and there's a lot of other talents that are on that platform that have put the seat time in. And anybody that wants to say that they don't have a place or they don't deserve it, like, they've obviously never done the work.
Yeah. Well,
and most of those people haven't done the work. Like most, you know,
yeah, no.
that tend to be the loudest aren't doing what we're doing.
Yeah. People that are doing cool stuff are too busy doing cool stuff to talk about it or to talk
about it. Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
Awesome. Well, this has been an awesome conversation. It's been good to get to know you. And I
appreciate
your opinion. Thanks for coming out.
You're awesome. Thanks.